Michael Tsikhov,
Michael Chekhov,
Michael Chekhov,
Michael Chekhov,
Michael Chekhov,
Michael Chekhov,
Michael Chekhov.
Imagine this. 38 theater artists from 24 countries leave their homes and travel to a tiny hilltop town in Croatia. Some of these artists are old friends, and others are meeting for the first time. But all share a devotion to Michael Chekhov and his psychophysical approach to acting. And all arrive with their expertise, their questions, opinions, struggles, and a willingness to explore over the course of a week. It's not a workshop, so there are no formal classes, and there are no designated master teachers. And on the third day of the meeting, love is the topic of conversation. You're listening now to A Glimpse of a Beautiful World, a podcast that gives you a glimpse into the work of artists who are part of the Michael Chekhov community. I'm Jessica Cerullo, the artistic director of Misha, and what you're about to hear is a report given by acting pedagogue Sol Gare on that third day, in which she shares the details of her working group's discoveries of the presence of love in our work and its relationship to things like attention, risk, and even violence. What deeper understanding of love can emerge when identities informed by culture or gender are considered? What embodied knowledge can we welcome when faced with students who refuse to read Heine Müller or who struggle to perform in the Oresteia? And how can Chekhov's technique support this inquiry? I invite you to listen as these questions are investigated, to hear the words, the images, the descriptions of on-your-feet explorations and gestures that you can't see in a podcast, and to hear the questions and stories that Sol collected with her group of investigators.
So I want to introduce a little bit how this topic came about. I was just doing one of the improvisation and thinking about my relationship to Chekhov. It came an image of me in a ship going towards Siberia with Andrei Kirillov in my side to Lake Baikal in 2000. And the feelings that I got from that memory took me to the word love, love. So first part, it was about questioning how love is present in our lives, in our classes, and how it is shared with the students. So I introduced three anecdotes or some things, and they took me to three different realms in order to explain to myself, as much as to the others, the exploration. One is the day-to-day class, no? When you face the difficulty with the students who can link between the work and love and the discipline that you need, no? What is the meaning of love in our students today? And the students have changed a lot. What is the meaning of love in society nowadays? So this question also made me think that my sensations or my quality or whatever is in the definition of love have changed 14 years ago when I did my first check of loving exercises and now. So we spoke, and as I we spoke, another thing that came out is as I we spoke, I did this gesture. It was not thought, or I was not preparing a psychological gesture, you know. That gesture was read as embracing. But for me, it was not embracing. And I was realizing that while I was speaking and doing that gesture, I didn't want to mean embracing. My body was feeling uniting. And I thought, why? Why is feeling united? And then I was, it was a full session. And then I was feeling united because I was realizing that I was feeling also my circumstances. I was feeling my students when I was doing that gesture and my context, their thoughts and their reality. So we, each of us, explore our gestures of love because it was not only embracing, of course, it's not. It's many others. One said, push for helping others to advance. Others was a very direct gesture. Others was to give and step back, to give a space. So different manifestations. But in my mind, there is always this importance of really understanding the circumstances of the students when making the gesture. And society today, considering how these circumstances are part of how love displays in classroom life. There is both a context and a culture now of resisting. Saying no is important to this generation. But what does this mean for love? Another context that I came is the genetic one. Is your genes and your body's experience of life, of course, and love. I'm Spanish, Catholic, and I'm a woman. I was born in 1970 in Franco times. I lived through transition in my early youth and blah, blah, blah. I did not realize the importance of this context until I faced a particular moment of my Asian martial art training with Philip Cerilli, which is an American actor, director, and trainer of actors that really, really tries to join the Western side of understanding your body and your energy into your performance today. Any performance, you perform when you're teaching, you perform when you are on a stage, you perform when you are trying to explain yourself. So, what is the relationship between love and violence? How to be fully there, all eyes, in front of my master? To blow your master is a risk. You can risk if there is a context of love, complete trust, and absolute giving yourself and your attention to the other or your being with the other. And then you hit the full blow, your artistic blow or the Kalaripayattu's martial blow. This anecdote contest also brought up a question of gender and how we describe our experience of love and violence. But it's important because we have an experience, but we have also the languages and the systems of thought by which we describe our experience, our sensations of love. And sometimes that discourses are not being created by the same person that is speaking or by her gender or by her reality. So these questions definitely have a great influence in how we speak and consider love. Difficulties today. How do you face evil? Does part of love means to know how to face evil? Love is a kind of matrix, a primary pattern in which we are all connected. And evil separates us. However, if we do not face evil, if we do not know by experiencing what it is, we cannot transform it, mm-hmm. nor decide not to be there. How do you help students to be with the images of evil in this case, not in television, but in their body. Mm-hmm. An example of Jobs was the Orestia messenger actor who could not incorporate the images in the text because of the need to fail, experience them. They don't have the tools. Perhaps they don't have the time and space to develop these tools. Nowadays, students refuse to read Heiner Müller. They say no. Why, it's too hard, too ugly, too complicated. They are triggered. They cannot cope. It's too difficult. Are they right to say no? On our feet. Then we explore what means love for ourselves today, on our feet. We found it through the breath, breathing in and out, creating an individual atmosphere which sometimes I like to call intersubjective atmospheres through movement and words. Why do I say intersubjective? Is because I feel like I have an experience in my body, a knowledge my body has on my knowledge, a knowledge of the outside, what is the reality there, and a knowledge in my interaction with that outside spot ahead. So there are like three, and I would like, I don't know if I got it, but I wanted you to explore that medium, a space of knowledge, when you are in interaction with the spot ahead. And then very interesting words, and especially, I was doing it, so I was not watching, I was trying to explore it, because I really did it. I was exploring to, what I meant by that, and so I didn't see them. I was feeling you, all of you, and these are the words. I'm sorry you should do it, but I'm going to try to repeat them with the quality I felt at that time. I am here. Compassion. Trust. Surrender. Spiral. Mina, in Japanese, everyone. Touch. Myself. To give, to embrace, to observe, to touch, to feel, to be. Unite together. Caution. Vulnerability. Invisibility. Contact. I see you, caring, being here. Continuous streaming of love, a well, incredible source of continuous water power. I like in that atmosphere the stillness I found, and I think Osa also found them, share that sensation. This experience of love was new, different than it had been before. Ugo spoke about the eye in the storm. I quote Judy, love happens when I give myself 100% to my students, without judging or pretending, truthfully, honestly, I realize that they have received something, and I also have received back something. This beautiful circulation starts to happen, and I realize that when we finish the workshop, this is, we realize the meaning of love when we are no longer there. You don't know what is the meaning of love while it is happening, but afterwards, when you receive the hashtags, maybe love is that, being 100% involved, giving yourself to it there in the present moment. Hugh gave us a Russian definition of love from Slava Dolgachev, increasing the points of contact as much as possible. We discuss about children. The mother archetype is helpful in love. The image Chekhov conjures is that of a mother preparing a meal for her child with love. When we are attentive to a child, they are happy. When we don't give them our attention, the problems come. They want you to notice. They need to exist. They must be noticed. The young generation has the right to resist, the right to be loved, the right to be noticed. We notice the young need to be nice, likable, in Facebook terms. However, we cannot avoid being rejected. We need to model, to teach, that we can't avoid being rejected, that one will have longing. We help students to expect this and continue the cycle. This led us to a short exploration between Jess and Jobst. One connects with a partner. Find something you like. Say their name with touch. Then find something you don't like and say their name. Receive it truly and continue through the cycle of human experience of rejection, betrayal, jealousy and forgiveness. So the relationship with love we need in our profession in our practice is one that puts us on the road. So that image brought me to another image of our creative individuality is like our car. Can be a 600, it can be a Seat, it can be a Rolls Royce, or lo que sea. The motor of it is our purpose. Purpose on stage, purpose in the class, purpose in our associations or institutions. And the petrol is the love, the gasoline. I didn't choose the theme, and I didn't choose to be the portavoz, the speaker. They chose it for me. So the first thank you is going for all of you that share this with me, especially the last one who I want to thank, which is Michael Chekhov, because he put me in the road to sensations, perception, and my body knowledge of all of these things, and he gave me the tools to understand that kind of knowledge.
You've been listening to Sol Gare speak at the Misha Michael Chekhov Europe 2018 retreat, hosted by Chekhov Studio Croatia and the University of Zagreb. Contributing members of Sol's group included Jobst Langhans from Germany, Jesper Mikkelsen from Denmark, Osa Salvesen from Finland, Birchu Holgoklu from Turkey, Hugo Moss from Brazil, Marjolaine Bars from the Netherlands, Yuri Yamanaka from Japan, Elsa Valentim from Portugal, and Sabina Rogers, Hugh O'Gorman, and myself from the United States. If you're interested in listening to Michael Chekhov's thoughts on love in our profession, you can find them in the published audio recordings Michael Chekhov on Theater and the Art of Acting. And you can join Misha every June at our International Workshop and Festival held annually at Connecticut College. This podcast, A Glimpse of a Beautiful World, was edited by Luigi De Brito and Gary Grundy, with music composed and performed by me, Jessica Cerullo, and Gary. That's Gary playing the piano right there, and you can hear more from him at garygrundy.com. A Glimpse of a Beautiful World was produced by Misha, the Michael Chekhov Association, attending to Michael Chekhov's legacy since 1999. MichaelChekhov.org.